Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The call has gotten louder in recent days. Defund the police. Boston is no exception. Today, the Boston City Council held public testimony on the city's budget, where they heard from activists calling for a 10% reduction and then reallocation of the police department's funding. That's just one aspect of police reform people are calling for here. Two local activists join us now, Armani White, who's calling on the city to defund the police. He's a community organizer with the Young Abolitionists. Welcome, Armani. Armani, are you there?
I'm here.
So hopefully we'll get... There we go. Hi there, Armani.
Hey.
Yes, we've got you now.
Happy to be here.
Also with us, I'm glad to have you. Also with us is Brock Sater. He's co-founder of Mass Action Against Police Brutality. Brock, welcome to Radio Boston to you too.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, we also want to hear from you. Do you think we should defund the police? Where should that money go? What would the reallocation be? Are there other reforms that you want to see from the Boston Police Department, your own town's police force? Call us, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So Armani, I want to start with you. The budget for the department right now is $414 million, and an ACLU analysis says that's four times larger than the Public Health Commission's budget, 15 times larger than the Neighborhood Development Department's. You are part of a collective of organizers across seven organizations pushing to defund the police. What does defund the police mean for your coalition? Do you mean completely defund? Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So when we talk about defunding police, we're talking about investing in communities. We're talking about putting our money where our values are. We believe that we can allocate 10% of the budget right now towards community instead of into increasing the police budget. So that's what we're about. And we're a broad coalition of organizations. So it's coming from a lot of different angles. There's organizations that focus on Latino communities, focus on communities that are incarcerated or formerly incarcerated, young people, Jewish people, Muslim people from all over are saying the same thing, which is that we need to invest in our communities. So
Armani, how did you land on the 10%? And where would that 10%, if it's defunded from the police department budget, where would you advocate for it to go?
Yeah, so when we talk about investing in our communities, we talk about basically the things that people have been talking about for a long time now, which is that we need more resources because we know that investment in communities actually deals with violence and actually addresses the harm in our communities. And so we would invest into programs that exist now and also create new programs that we know we need and don't have the funding for. In some examples of just other ways that we can hire civilians, do construction details, youth workers and counselors can replace police in schools. And this is something that we know works as well.
So Brock, I want to turn to you now. You seem less focused on a percentage of a budget, more on police accountability and justice. What are you calling for?
Yeah, I would argue that that's what the world is calling for. You know, most people who come to a protest, aren't coming out to a protest because they're thinking about 10% cut in the budget. I don't know where this comes from. It's not coming from, some popular demand. That's not a chant that they're saying on the streets. We want justice.
Are you against that, Brock? You sound like you're
am I against it? Well, actually, I think Minneapolis, is kind of the model right now. If anything, we should disband the police. We need to completely abolish the police as we know it. One thing for sure, in the Terrence Coleman case, we know that police should have nothing to do with any mental health checkups, for instance. But in any case, the heart of this battle...
Brock, let me just clarify for our listeners. Let me just clarify for our listeners. Terrence Coleman was a 31-year-old black man who suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, died on October 30th, 2016, after being shot twice by a Boston police officer after being called on a mental health call by his mother. I just want to make sure our listeners understand your reference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for that. And that's truth. Most people should be aware of of Terrence Coleman. That's part of what we're doing with Mass Action, is giving voice to a lot of these victims whose situation really was no different than a Mike Brown or a Tamir Rice or many of the other names you might hear in mainstream press. But, you know, they're happening right here in the Boston area. So the main demand in the case of George Floyd is, you know, that these cops be prosecuted. That's why people took to the streets, because the government didn't act in a timely fashion. It turned into a riot. And in general, that's why you see a protest movement that continues to explode into the headlines 5 years after Mike Brown. Because 5 years after Mike Brown, Darren Wilson is still walking the streets. Me and Hope Coleman went to Ferguson last August to stand with the Mike Brown family. That family's demand that case be reopened. And that's what we demand in the case of Terrence Coleman, Usama Rahim, and Bo Ramsey White. For starters, here in the Boston area, we think that Rachel Rollins should reopen these cases. It's not enough to say that you're against George Floyd being murdered by that officer and that officer should be prosecuted. You have to deal with what's going on in your own home, in your own backyard.
Brock, let me give Armani a chance to come back in. Armani, what's your response to what you just heard from Brock?
Yeah, I totally think that we need to support those families here in Boston that feel like they, you know, didn't get justice. I personally actually know like Bo Ramsey's family. And, you know, I think about that a lot, but I also just think that the focus of what we're trying to talk about is actually defunding police so that there's not that kind of situation that arises again. I think it is a part of the national demand right now. It's happening across the nation, in New York, in LA, in other cities. And so I think it's important for it to be lifted up here. You know, we just had, you know, thousands of emails sent in to city councilors. We had, you know, dozens and dozens of people who just testified to this point. So I think that it's important. And I think that I do agree with, like Brock said, people are coming to protest demanding a defunding of police, and that it's, you know, something that people care about. People care about also getting justice. People care about a lot of different things. And I think there's a large movement across the nation for all of this. So it's, you know, it's good to have so many different people working on it and so many people in the streets of all different races saying the same thing, which is to defund police and to invest in our communities.
So let's take calls. Our lines are filling up quickly. Go ahead, Brock, and then I want to get a couple of caller voices in.
Yeah, just to quickly respond, I just wanted to say that, you know, a demand to defund the police can be used oftentimes to counterpose it to prosecuting the police, which is the elementary demand of all the families. I mean, I've talked to Sandra Bland's mother. I've talked to Mike Brown. I've talked to Tamir Rice's mother, Trayvon Martin's mother, Oscar Grant's mother, Wanda Johnson. I tell you, I can guarantee you, they all demand the same thing. They want justice. And in this case, reopen the case is one of the main demands, because the vast majority of these cases never went to trial. So I would have to disagree with the idea that prosecution is not a national demand and not a central demand. It is the demand, I would argue. It is the demand of the world movement, prosecution of the police. And it has to
I do agree that, that's a demand. I hope I didn't say that.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
I totally agree. I think what I'm saying is that I think it's all important. And so I want to make that very clear.
Let's grab a couple callers here at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We have Ken on the line from the West End. Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, hey there. Thanks for taking the call. I wanted to say that I do support the effort to defund the police. Growing up, I've never had a moment, a kind of an opie moment where I felt great about having a police officer live next door. And I've always wondered how I would feel if I bumped into a police officer at a party. There's a sense of power and lack of accountability, which doesn't fit for our society and doesn't make sense for the amount of power that's held by somebody who can end my life without having to.
So, Ken, we're losing you there, and I think we got the main idea from you. Thanks for that call. I want to add one more voice here. We've got Brian on the line from Natick. Brian, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I agree with the concept of defunding the police. I think that a lot of the police spending is on reactionary tactics versus the proactive measures of improving some of the systemic issues. The issue that I have is I think defunding the police is going to be a term that is going to get vastly misconstrued and then taken in the wrong direction as far as trying to garner national support and large support from all of society. I think that the defund term is going to turn people off and it's going to be difficult. I think they need to rephrase that to something that's going to be a little bit more effective. I think you're going to have a misconception that we're getting rid of the police, we're going to have no police, there's going to be panic in the street, there's going to be crime. You know, people are going to get turned off, especially I think in the Midwest. And I think that's something that the advocates need to think about.
Thanks for that, Brian. Let me turn back to our two advocates. Brock, Armani, what's your response to the two calls you just heard? Armani, why don't you jump in?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's we need to defund and be smart about where we put our money and what we invest into. I come from a community where the relationship to police is not positive. I also come from a community where, police are everywhere, and I think that people wonder, how much is being spent versus the effectiveness. And so I think we're trying to make sure that, this 1% cut to the total overall budget, right? Like, it's not a huge cut. And it's something that we hear folks are starting to agree. Like, I hear most people, people, both in the streets and also I hear elected officials talking about that. I mean, we don't hear it clearly from the police union, but, it's clear.
So Armani, let me take it from you there. Let me take it from you there. I want to turn to you, Brock. So you and Armani, to a listener like me, are talking about advocacy across a fairly wide continuum. I hear Armani focusing on reallocation of specific kinds of funding that could lead to better support and services. Our caller, Matt, who said that language defunding the police may be too controversial, I hear you saying, no, that's what I'm asking for. I want prosecution, accountability, removal of police officers. Do you agree that the term is a problem, or does it not go far enough in your mind? I'd like to understand that a little better.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I mean, when it comes to civil rights and justice, I think there's always been pushback. It's not something new. I think that's what that speaker was saying. I don't think they were, at least from what I was listening to, it didn't sound like they were saying we shouldn't then do it or it's not worthy to be asked of and asked for. But yes, I mean, we live in a country that incarcerates more than any other country in the, in the world. We we're a pro police community, frankly, and we have to move to a place to where we kind of rethink how we live in our communities. And I think that's already happening now in response to COVID. I like know in my community, folks are coming together so much to just make sure people get what they need because they're just not getting it right now. That $1,200 check wasn't enough for a lot of people. Most people at that.
Let's grab another call here, Brock.
Sure.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Let's get Matt in from Dorchester. Go ahead.
Hey, so my biggest thing is defund the police. That's the wrong term we're using. That's not something we should be even think about, because the problem is, as a police officer, you do 40 hours a year of what we call in-service training, right? So I grew up in the city, I still reside in the city, and I'm a police officer. And so the thing is, you do 40 hours a year of what we call in-service training, and very little of that training is mental illness, mental illness training. And a lot of it stems from there's not enough money in the budget. So I can go
on. So, Matt, let me interrupt you for just a moment there and clarify. Matt, are you saying you're a police officer?
Yes, I am. And
okay,
and
just getting clear.
Within my department, there's training out there. There's training not provided by the department, but like the MPTC, the Massachusetts Police Training Council, they put out trainings. And there are trainings that we can attend, but your department has to compensate you for the training. And if there's no money in the budget, you can't go to this training. And then I want to know as much as I can. I would love to go into a situation and be, for lack of a better term, armed with the most information about the kind of call that I'm responding to. Because there's only so much you can do when you go to a call with someone who's suffering from mental illness. I mean, you do your best to try to empathize with the person. But I mean, as far as I mean, I can only do what I when I learn in the class.
Matt, I apologize for interrupting you. That your point is clear, and we're running low on time, so I want to come back to. Yeah, please do.
To respond to some of these things,
Yes, Brock.
Yeah, basically, this is Brock from Mass Action Against Police Brutality. I would argue that the main reason people came out on the streets wasn't a question of people were protesting the level of funding of police. They saw what Officer Chauvin did to George Floyd, and they were appalled. But what made it even more appalling was that it took several days for the judicial system to actually act. So part of the problem is the same reason they were outraged. Many of us wanted to take to the streets weeks earlier after the Arbery case. But, you know, the same thing. You have these racist vigilantes, one a former cop with a close relationship to the department, were never prosecuted, and then went through three DAs before the state government had to step in, and only in response to a viral video. So it's not just the police, it's the judicial system, it's the prosecutors, it's the judges. All of them are part of what is in the crosshairs of the outrage that is getting millions on the streets today, from LA to Chicago to South Africa.
So Armani and Brock, we have just a little more than a minute left. And I just want to ask you each, based on the calls we've heard, the comments that you've both made, the places where you're in agreement and not in alignment with each other, what is a pass forward? What's the next step to get real change? Armani, briefly, from your perspective.
We need to defund and invest in communities.
And Brock, how about you? What's the immediate next step that you're
basically
calling for?
Kind of even what Al Sharpton himself is forced to acknowledge. The whole country has to unite behind these families. What is their demands? Their demand is justice. How do you get it? Well, for many of these families, the first thing we have to do is reopen the case. That is the central demand that applies to the vast majority of these families who are tied to communities all across the country, in every city and town, in every state, red or blue. So here in Massachusetts, here in Boston, Mass Action is calling another demonstration for all who support the demands of prosecution to stand with the families of Massachusetts, who will be with us in front of the DA's office, Rachel Rollins, demanding justice Tuesday. So come join us.
And that's Brock Sader. He's a co-founder of Mass Action Against Police Brutality. Brock, I appreciate you taking the time today. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Armani White, a community organizer with the Young Abolitionists. Armani, I also appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.